This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's somewhat a normal Thursday.
And welcome to the Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is a fabulous day to be living in the Mid-Willamette Valley. I'm pumped today, Dave.
How's that?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm going to have a few days off.
Because it's sunny?
Skip town. It is remarkable to be in the 60s. And sunny all this week,
right?
Last week, people always complain and whine about summer being short. October is such a nice month in
There's
the Mid-Willamette
Valley. Sunshine out there.
Yeah. I'm going to skip town though for a few days, going on a couple of
Slacker.
Places across the U.S. So I hope the audience will be here when I get back.
We're all going to take a vacation too.
As much as I enjoy being here at KYKN. And bantering with Dave and informing you all of local issues, ideas, institutions, and initiatives here in the Willamette Valley. I'll come back all recharged and another perspective. And I'm going to be going to stump and vouch and recruit commercial airline service back to the city of Salem. Right?
Yes.
So while I'm gone, headed to Orlando to have more conversations with United and SkyWest and Alaska and American and anybody else that'll listen to us that says, you know, we're ready and we're going to support commercial airline service here in the Mid-Valley. So we'll have a big update having to do with that next week. I won't have an answer, folks, but I'll just let you know how the conversation goes.
I look forward to that.
It is time. And if you have not been up to speed on the effort, go to www.flysle.com.
SLE. There's a link on our homepage.
Yeah, and there's a link on the
KYKN.com.
SLE.com. SLE is our airport code. We want everyone's baggage in the future to read SLE to wherever they're going. All right. I have a fun guest today. It's fun for me. I hope you enjoy it too. A young man I've known for a couple of months now, a couple of minutes, as they say. Zachary Selicki is in the studio with us today. He's got a new role, so I'm very excited for him, and I'm very excited for the business community. I'm very excited for the chamber. Zachary Selicki, welcome to the studio.
Well, thanks, Brent. I appreciate it.
I'm going to turn your volume up there. So Zach recently took a position at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, which was a nice surprise. I had just seen him attending a meeting when he was sitting and he's gathering in the community information and attending the conversation. And the next thing I know, oh, I work here. So that was terrific. So what's your, first of all, Zach, welcome. And what's your role at the Salem Area Chamber?
Thank you. It's good to be here. My role at the Salem Chamber, I'm the membership coordinator. So I'm in charge of bringing in new members and catering to the needs of our current members. So I'm pretty fortunate. I love the job.
A lot of people have question marks about what is a Chamber of Commerce and what do they do and what is this entity? And of course, I would say, well, it's a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit membership organization that is here to advocate for business. Did I get that about right?
You're spot on. Yeah. So Chamber of Commerce across the nation, they're different in every city. I mean, even in Oregon. So a lot of Chambers of Commerce will be the entity where people, like tourists, will call and be like, hey, do you have a flyer or do you have a pamphlet or anything like that on what places I should visit, what restaurants I should go to and things like that. We're lucky. We have Travel Salem that does all that, and they're experts in that field. So on our end, we focus on advocacy. We're the champion for businesses here in the Salem community and the different cities around as
and
well.
Primarily small businesses.
Primarily small businesses, yes. So about 80% of our members, we're at about just shy of 1,000. We're at 975 members currently. And about 80% are small businesses. So they employ about 25 people or less.
Well,
yeah.
See, I think a lot of people get the impression that the chamber is representing these big bankers and these big, Walmart type of businesses. Mm-hmm. And really, there are 10 or fewer employees, 5 or fewer employees, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're just individuals that work out of their home.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a huge thing. Yeah, it's great, though. It's a great organization. And I'm really excited to be here.
We're going
to
dive more into the chamber here in a little bit, but let's step back and tell the audience who the heck is Zach. So how old were you when I met you, Zach?
Oh, goodness. I'd have been about fifth or sixth grade. You're my baseball coach for the Giants. We won a championship, and I still hold that over some of my friends who we played against sixth grade.
Dude.
Absolutely.
Fun. So you've known him for more than a minute.
A couple minutes.
Yeah.
It has been one of my greatest joys, actually, to coach youth baseball and a little bit of football, too. But of all my roles in the community that I've taken, it's the one I consider to have been most valuable to the community. And it's really cool to see a young man who was a young boy, you know, learning to throw and catch the ball and bat, this and that, enter into the professional environment. Actually, last week, young man Jonathan Schaub,
yep,
another young man about your age. I met him at the Chamber Forum luncheon, went there. He walks up, shakes my hand, and here's another young man dressed in a tie and used to play baseball on the team. And now they're integrating into our young professional population, and it's really great to see.
That's super exciting. John's
and
a great
guy. And you feel older now, don't you?
There are many reasons why I feel older every day. So anyway, we got to get that out. Zach, I've known him since you're about 10 or 11 years old. Team was the Giants. I guess we won that year, huh?
We sure did.
That's nice.
He remembers
it. It's nice that you have a little bragging rights over some of your friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully you learned a thing or two about not just playing the game, but, you know, being a teammate. And because I know at the Chamber, it's all about team. We're doing the mission here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. What's great is I have a lot of my coworkers. They're absolutely amazing. And they're always turning to me and say, Zach, you're doing great work. You're bringing all these members. And I'm like, look, you make it easy for me. You guys are the ones that are building the product for me to go to market with. And they do such amazing work for all of our members and everything. So it really makes my job easy. I have hands down the best coworkers.
Tell us a little bit about your folks.
So my mom, she's amazing. Her name's Lene. She owns Jerry Frank's Conditori. She's been there for about 30 years, and she acquired the business in July of 2017, bought it from Jerry Frank. And my dad works for Marion Polk Legal Aid, and he's been there for almost 30 years as well, actually.
Now, your dad, I don't want to out him because he's not our guest and I didn't get permission, but he's kind of a birder, isn't he?
Oh, he loves birds. Oh, yeah. He's a huge bird guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the Facebook feed, folks, and not only does he know a lot about this, more than I will ever know, but he's a great photographer, too.
Oh, he's a great photographer. Well, what's hilarious is my fiance, Taylor, who I absolutely just adore, she's a bird person, too, so they bond over that. It is so funny.
Well, that's so good.
Funny. Yeah.
I knew I had the right girl when my dad was, I think he liked my wife, you know, my girlfriend more than I did. And he was like, let it be known that it's okay to marry this one. Right.
Well, that's good.
Nice.
So your fiance has a stamp of approval from your dad. And of course, the longstanding, your mom, you know, finding her in the Conditori, just the right place to go for that chocolate cake.
Absolutely.
And many other things. Great. Well, a little bit of background. So Zach Selicki is with us, and he has joined the Chamber of Commerce team and wanted to introduce you all to him. He's going to be out in the community doing great things, and a young professional. We got to encourage him and support him. So you're jumping aboard the ship, and I know you're familiar with the Chamber because you've been paying attention to advocacy and business and political issues, right?
Yeah, so I first got my a taste of the political side of things in college. I interned in the House Republican office, and actually in the interview, my first interview, they said, what makes you tick? Like, what is it that gets you interested in politics? And I was like, business advocacy. My family owns a small business in town, and there's, you know, that relationship between business and government is so vital, and if it's not done right, it can be super detrimental to our economic ecosystem here in Salem. So it's super important.
So at a young age, even, you've spent a little bit of time in the Capitol.
Yep.
So yep. Do you ever think of that you will return there someday with a desk of your own?
I don't know. We'll see. Well, if the opportunity presents itself. But, you know, right now my goals are framed around doing as good of work as I can for the Chamber and for our members and the business community as a whole. So.
All right, so you're going to go talk to a potential member, right? Every day.
Every
day. That's pretty much
your job. Got a new one right before here, actually. Oregon Axe.
And they join?
Yeah, they joined today.
All right, tell us about them.
Oregon Axe is amazing. So it's a couple that started an escape room down in Springfield, and they got a little taste of the axe throwing thing that's kind of getting big, mostly in the Midwest. And they decided to start one in Springfield, and they started about a year ago, and they decided to move here to Salem, open a shop up here, and it's an absolute asset to our community. It's going to be a blast. Axe throwing. Wow. Throwing axes.
Well, there's a life experience I do not have just yet.
You got to check it out. It is
awesome. It helps relieve that stress that you might carry around in your work.
I may or may not have any stress in my life. Oh, hey, we're going to take our first break, but I'm going to keep Zach here for a little while longer. We're going to learn more about his role, who's joining the chamber, why they're joining the chamber, what benefits are there. And honestly, if you're not a member of the chamber and not a business owner, you want to know what they're doing in the community,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to know what they're all about. We'll talk to Zach about that in just a few minutes. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I had a drama teacher back in high school.
I'm sorry.
He was a great guy. He was one of the best teachers ever and treated us like human beings instead of partial human beings that teenagers can be.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right.
Great guy. I remember him saying one time, it'd be really nice to see one of his students, you know, make it. Right. And see somebody make it and accept that Emmy or that Oscar
sure.
down the road. And hit 13 years of coaching Little League Baseball here in the Salem area. I keep thinking, you know, that'd be really great to see one of the kids that I coached really make it in the community. And now we see kids that have, but not kids, but young men who have great potential of being great professionals here in the Mid-Valley. And Zach Selicki is one of them here in the studio with us. You're just joining us from the previous segment. Zach Selicki has joined the Chamber of Commerce team, and you're the membership director.
Coordinator.
Coordinator.
Get it right there. It's a special title he's got there.
Yeah, that's right. And I was saying how, I mean, I've been in city council. I did this or that here and there. The one thing that was most novel, I think, is I was on a committee, an advisory committee to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
Yeah, it was cool. I joined it because I didn't know anything about the court system, because this was about, it was called the Special Courts Advisory Committee to the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice. And I'm like, what's a special court? Well, it was a learning curve. I served it for a couple of years, and that I got through my involvement of the Chamber of Commerce. I always tell business owners or people who are looking to be active in the community or plug in their passions in the community that the Chamber is a great springboard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, of all the things that I've served in the community, the most value I think I have provided to our community is to coach young kids. And so I applaud all you youth coaches out there. We got one in-house with Hunter here.
That's true,
right?
We do. Yeah.
So all you coaches out there, no matter the sport and the mentorship, I applaud you. I want to thank you all.
So this one ranks up there like second or third in your life now?
What, KYKN?
Uh-huh.
Time will tell. Time will tell. We'll just wait for the legacy, right?
I'm going to... pull that knife out of the back. Jeez.
All right. I only got an hour. Here we go. So, Zach Selicki, welcome back. You were talking before the break. You just signed up a new business, mm-hmm. and they throw axes.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a big company with $1 billion of revenue?
Not at all.
So, thousands of employees?
No.
But the Chamber's going to stand for them, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the great thing. It's one of those things. It's Chambers of Commerce. And it's also trade associations, mm-hmm. where people who are the small guys, they can band together and have people get exposure, get credibility, and have people advocate for them.
Having a voice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does every city have a chamber of commerce?
Just about, yeah. I mean, it just really depends on the size.
Even a small town.
Yeah, if they want to come together and form one. Dallas has one. Dallas is relatively
small.
That's
true, they do.
Yeah.
And we've had him on. We've had them on. We've had your boss, Tom Huffert.
Great guy.
On, and he has been here, and I've threatened to make him guest host at times. You know, we've had Bruce Anderson, the Chamber president.
Notice he said threatened.
Yes. Well, we haven't had Tom. We haven't nailed him down because he's a very, very busy guy.
He sure is.
All right. So, and you were saying in the first segment that chambers of commerce are all a little bit different. Some of them basically mm-hmm. serve as visitor centers.
Yeah.
And others do a full spectrum. And the chamber in Salem is huge because, you know, they do a lot of things having to do with leadership, advocacy, exposure and marketing, opportunities for people to network, and opportunities to learn more and get involved in the community. It was a great culture, and I stumped for them, but you know they're the most pro Salem area entity that we have.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, so you're walking into a business. Maybe they're new. Maybe they've been around a while, but they're not members. What do you tell them? What do you tell them about being a member?
Well, the biggest thing I tell them, kind of like what you were saying, you get a businesses are stronger when everyone comes together, and we are that place where you can have a new business that just starts up that comes in and says, I want to network, I want to meet other business owners, and I want to learn from other people. And so we provide that platform for businesses to, our goal is to make our members famous. Doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter how much money they're bringing in, doesn't matter what level they come in at. Everyone to us is super important. And one of the biggest things we try to find out from people is, what is it that they need? We don't want to be a hero for anybody. We want to be the guide so they can be their own hero. And that's what's really valuable. There's been a lot of businesses that don't see the value, and I tell them, I'm like, one day you'll see, and we can talk again then. And the chamber isn't for everybody, and that's okay. That's okay.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I think the chamber is for everybody. And the thing about it, and my father was he was a big proponent of, you give back, and you stay involved. And he did so in both in his industry, but also he was a huge member of the Lions Club and gave back to the community in that way. But somebody is pulling the rope for you. Somebody is educating our elected leaders. Mm-hmm. Somebody's educating the general public about issues that are important. There might be quality of life issues. They could definitely be taxation issues. Mm-hmm. They can definitely be regulation issues. But it goes all across the board. Somebody's pulling that rope for you. So you can either contribute to that effort or let somebody else carry it, right? And so I don't want to shame them too badly.
Too badly.
Not specifically, but I will tell you, they're going to be out there stumping for you. Kyle Sexton used to say this, it doesn't matter if you're at work, if you're not work in the middle of the night, the chamber is working for you.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I tell businesses is it's a peace of mind knowing that every day you're at work and working hard and trying to build your business, that you have a group of people in your corner fighting for you every minute of every day. And we're always going to be there for you when you need something. Hey, we need to navigate this. We need to be connected with someone like this. This is a need that we have. And we try to, be that place where we can connect them.
We're talking to Zach Selicki, newest hire for the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. This is a young professional that is getting ingrained and embedded, and we want to keep in this community. So when you see him around, say, hey, Zach, sign me up, or great job. So what about the perspective, like, well, I can't really get involved, I don't have time, I'm buried in my business. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Well, that's actually, for a lot of people, that is the issue. And I tell them, at the end of the day, it's, kind of like what I was just saying, we're still going to be there fighting for you. It doesn't always mean that you're not going to have the time to be putting in. We're going to put that work in for you. We're going to be advocating for you. We'll market for you. There's all of these ways that we can bring value to you. And it's really an aspirational thing. People come to us and say, what do I get out of it? Mm-hmm. Why should I become a member? And I tell them, I'm like, that's not the way you should approach it. This is an aspirational thing. You want to be a part of something bigger than you and bigger than your company, and that's working for the good of our community. There's no other organization that's doing it the way we are.
Yeah, and I shudder to think what our overall economic environment would look like.
Oh my
gosh. If the chamber had not exerted a lot of leadership over the last 20 plus years, and what we would have in terms of industry and wage base,
be a lot
job
different.
Base, regulations, taxations, hindrances to want to build. I mean, we had a mayor at one point refuse to even meet with somebody who wanted to build a natural gas plant here.
What?
He wouldn't even take the meeting. And so he just shut him down. And a lot of those cases, like if you're about business, then we'd want to talk to you. Well, people who vilify the business community really need to wake up and or be laughed at. And one of the things you said was where everyone comes together. They're stronger when everyone comes together. And I think the message is not just business, but it has to do with the community.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about city council here on Newsmakers, and we have four or five members.
Well, there's a reason.
Who think that they need to be separate, that they are separate and they are not part of a whole. And that is not healthy, folks. That is not healthy. And we all need to pull together. I don't care if you're a Boys and Girls Club, who we'll hear from tomorrow, right? A nonprofit doing great work in the community, a chamber advocacy group, or an elected leader. We all got to pull together for the quality of life. One thing about the chamber and its culture is that they've always understood it's not all profit. That for us to be successful and have an we need an education system that people like and is effective. We need health care that will help people. We need a top quality. We need parks and infrastructure because you can't have a vibrant business community without having quality of life.
Absolutely.
Right? And you really, the flip side is you really can't have quality of life and you can't have livable wages and you know, all of these things that we want in our community unless people have the jobs and the opportunity to make some money. Right?
Absolutely.
Am I singing your song, Zach?
You're singing it to the perfect tune. I love it.
I don't have to tell Zach this, but thank you for listening. So what happened that you decided to take this job?
So I was working in the Capitol for a little bit and stopped working there. And Tom approached me. I actually met Tom right after I stopped working in the Capitol. And I told him, if there's ever an opportunity where a public policy position opens up, please let me know because I want to get involved. And a few months went by and then Laura Dorn contacted me while I was on vacation. And she says, hey, there's a membership coordinator position opening up. I want you to apply for it. And at first, I even told her on the phone, I said, I want to do public policy. She's like, just meet with me. So I did. And right after that meeting, I think I texted her and Tom so many times saying, when can I apply for the job?
Nice.
Because I was so excited. And I'm just so thankful that I have the opportunity to be doing this and be surrounded by the people that I am.
And for clarity, that's Tom Hofford. He's the CEO of our local Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and we're blessed to have him. Laura Dorn, local realtor. She's been on the show talking mm-hmm. about the She's market of housing. We amazing. Need to have her back.
Yes, we
and
do.
And currently a chamber board member. She's been board members all over town. And she's a great asset to the community as well. And nice of her to go out and recruit you and tell you need to come aboard. And I think we'll have, I have a strange feeling that Zach's role will bleed into public policy more and more as the time goes on. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, your job is not just to sell memberships and get people to sign up, but take care of the members that are there, right? And connect them. It's one of the greatest things about being the community, right?
Absolutely.
And part of the community is connecting people to other people they can trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and one of the biggest things is there's a lot of newer businesses that have the needs such as marketing and employment, and they're like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know where do I contact? And so we say, look, let us do that for you. Let us connect you with these resources, and that's huge. And it's really those business to business connections that are so important
mm-hmm.
that it just benefits everybody.
You're a conveyor of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And a catalyst. I remember I needed a professional out of state in the state of Nevada, and I needed a professional. What did I do? I called the Chamber of Commerce there.
That's the way to do it.
I'm like, well, I would like a member, somebody who's joined, and they're integrated, and they're committed, you know, at least to some degree, to the local business community. So I'm not going to call somebody who's not the part of the local. I'm not even going to meet this person. I'll probably never meet this person face to face, but I need services.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to the chamber.
They're basically vetted by the chamber then.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have to take another break here. Zach can stay if he wants. He might have other people to go meet, but we're going to talk about, I don't know, to laugh or cry about this taxation and lawsuit in the city of Portland. You heard of that place?
Yeah.
Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem, you listening?
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. I'm Brent DeHart. Here with Dave Bourne and a guest. We're hanging out with Zach Selicki here in the studio. We're going to hang on to him just for a while to join us in the conversation. We're going to move the conversation, though, to you know, I'm in a great mood today, so I'm going to consider this amusing, although it's frightening and frustrating as well. So there's a lawsuit against Safeway coming out of the city of Portland because Portland passed a tax, voter-approved tax, 1%.
And now, was it just the city of Portland? I thought the state did this.
Just the city of Portland.
But it would apply to the state $2 billion tax too, right?
No.
They can't
pass. This is a Portland tax.
Just a Portland tax.
Yep.
All right.
So they're taxing, you know, the big companies. That's mm-hmm. how they try to sell it here in Oregon. We're only going to charge. They want you to believe that every tax is going to be borne by the evil shareholders of Walmart Corporation or Safeway Corporation or fill in the blank. And so it's those nasty big businesses. They all need to pay their fair share. And so we're going to tax them. They're out of state. They sell more than $1 billion of revenue and blah, blah, blah. So nobody's going to have to pay this. We're going to make them pay it.
Because there's the evil rich people?
Because they're evil rich people.
Okay.
All right. So what's funny about this is Safeway gets taxed in the city of Portland. They're permitted to pass it on. They pass it on. Consumer doesn't like it. Sues them.
What?
Sues them. He buys some wine for $3.33. There's 3 cents of tax on his receipt. And you've ever traveled out of state, you know what it's like. You buy a bag of chips and it's $1.99 plus tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Safeway receipt showed the cost for the product he was buying plus the tax. Lo and behold, folks, when you pass a tax, you pay for it. Like, that is so crazy that they think that somehow this is never going to get paid for by the people of Portland. Some out-of-state people are going to magically come up and pay this additional tax. It just shows you the continued ignorance and land of, what do I call it? Purposeful ignorance.
Yes.
We can pass any tax we want, but it's never going to cost us anything. We at Burgerville can pay our guys, you can pay us $17 an hour, but everyone will still be able to buy the burger. I mean,
for a higher cost.
Yeah. You think the burger and the fries and the shake aren't going to go up like crazy when you start paying $17 for labor instead of $12. And the next thing you know, none of you have jobs, people, because Burgerville can't compete. It is crazy how people just think, well, this should be this way, and we want to fund this way, and here's the tax. And we've been ranting about this on Newsmakers all year, of course, due to the big taxation increases through coming out of the Oregon legislature. $1 billion a year, the Student Success Act, also known as the Corporate Activities Tax. All of these things, folks, you have to pull behind the curtain and pay attention to the men and women behind the curtain, because they're pulling the levers and they're yanking everyone's chain and trying to make you believe, well, suddenly our education system's going to be great because we're going to pour another $1 billion into it. But it's those big bad people that are going to pay for this.
Yeah, the big bad businesses.
So when this goes into effect on January 1st, someone buys a car from our friends at Capital Auto Group and they negotiate the best deal they can get. Your way on the highway, right? Your way on the parkway, right?
Right.
They go down there. Okay, here you go. And at the bottom of the line, it'll say tax. That's what it's going to happen. Whether it's commercial builders building a new building, maybe they're building a new building for the school district. Guess who's going to pay the tax? School district's going to pay the tax when the contractor's building the building for them, or they're doing the remodels for him at Salem Kaiser Schools. Folks, it gets passed down. Right? I know that a lot of people want to believe that, well, they're just going to suck it up out of their profits and that's going to come out of somebody else's pockets and we don't have to pay $20 for a chicken entree at a partial service restaurant. You know what I mean? It's like all these things drive costs. So out of Portland, I'm just laughing out loud. Why is he suing Safeway? Safeway didn't put the tax in. You did. The voters did. $3.33. Oh, it's a five. Oh, and then AT&T is another story, and I don't have the bottom of that. We'll have to wait and see how that fleshes out. There's another lawsuit coming out of Portland about AT&T passing on a surcharge that it's in question about whether or not they're even subject to the taxation they're trying to pass on. So we'll see. Here's the quote that made me laugh, and I shame on them for doing this. Says this, the attorney for the plaintiff. It's not only unfair to customers who are made to feel like this is a tax on them, but it's also unfair to other businesses who are legitimately just paying the tax.
What?
The consumer's paying the tax. Of course it's a tax on them.
Hello.
Safeway's still paying it, too. I mean, yeah. That cost is just being taken. That just doesn't make sense.
That's like, as many of you know, I used to have a retail gasoline store. And it was invisible because you just saw the sign up there. But I was collecting, 44 cents of tax on behalf of. And we did, actually. We'd have signs out there saying, by the way, your gallon of gas includes this tax, state tax, federal tax, underground storage, fees, blah, blah, blah. What the taxations were in some parts of Oregon, we have city taxes on gasoline. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what the smallest component was? It was the retailer's margin. Safeway, I mean, margins in groceries, Zach, that's, can you think of a business that has smaller margins? Maybe gasoline. But, and they're not going to, they can't eat 1%.
Yeah.
No. When you're trying to make two.
Right.
Right. Car dealers as well, very tiny margin of car dealers. Yeah. They have to do it with big tickets and a lot of volume. And additional services. So, but they had an exemption under this law. I don't know if you followed it closely during the legislative session, but
I don't remember this one.
Yeah, the car dealers got, well, not an exemption from the tax, but they got permission to list it as a line item.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Specifically. And that happened when they were making the sausage down at the Capitol.
Is that like the guzzler tax that I had to pay for my Camaro?
Yeah, because you are not green enough.
Because I'm sucking the gas
you
down.
You hate the earth, and it's because of you, Dave Bourne, we're all going to be extinct in 2035.
I downshift and make it hurt for those Priuses next door to me.
We've had a lot. Zach Selicki's with us in the audience, and he's sitting back and nodding. I think he's in agreement here. But we've seen proposals in the city of Salem going back a number of years that a tax on sodas or a tax on eating out or a tax on or a business licensing tax or and so forth and so forth, and all these things get passed on. And then in the same conversation of the policymakers, they're saying, well, people are really poor and they can't afford expensive prices and high prices. And we run to the same thing. Your public policy, this regulation leads to an increase in cost of goods and services and housing. So don't complain about it if you're creating it.
Right.
You need to be part of the solution. Anyway, so it's a good thing the chamber's there. Sometimes,
absolutely.
You know, because policymakers, you have amateurs coming in and making votes for the city of Salem. You got complete amateurs from lots of walks from life. They're not public policy specialists typically. And it's good for the community to have some continuity of knowledge and education that you can help people understand the ramifications, right?
Absolutely.
So the first meeting I saw you, Zach Selicki, at the chamber more recently this fall was at a public policy meeting, and I appreciate it. And he's like, and he's got this beard going, folks. You know, he's a good-looking guy. You know, he was able to find a girl willing to marry him, so he's doing all right.
Don't ask me how I did that.
And, of course, I'm thinking Zach Selicki, he's like, I visualize him 10, 11, 12 years old, skinny kid.
Sure.
In a baggy uniform. But no, he's got this beard going and a tie, and I'm like, you're Zach Selicki. How about that? But you were there educating yourself.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing. Going out and searching for answers, whether you go into it maybe in disagreement per se, you're just going in and saying, I want to know everything. I listen to I'm a big podcast. I love podcasts. I listen to very conservative and super far to the left ones and everything in between just to get the full scope and just to understand. It's should always be continuing your education. Those are the words I was looking for.
Well, it's great to see you in the position. I know it's your boss, Tom Hoffert, tapped me on the shoulder years ago and said, hey, Marion County's looking for a business community representative for public safety. And he tapped me on the shoulder. And I think maybe Sharon Seideman tapped me on the shoulder a different day. Sam Kaiser Schools is looking for budget advisory team members that are part of the business community. And now you're in that position to plug people in, have them become members, bring them and envelop them into all the advocacy and the benefits of being Salem's biggest cheerleader.
Absolutely.
You're in that position.
I am.
As a young professional, and it's pretty awesome.
I'm super thankful for it. I'm blessed.
Well, we're glad to see you. And you're a duck.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been on our duck pregame show. I don't know how he got the invite, and I've never got an invite. Going to have to talk to Jeff Morgan about that. We're going to have to take a break because we're going to bring back our weekly segment with Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. Well, thanks, Zach Selicki. Good luck with the Chamber of Commerce. Give him a call if you want to join. We just have some questions. You've been listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back, folks. It is Thursday, and we're finishing up our Thursday noon hour with our special guests. Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron are here to finish out the news and tell us of what they think about the world and their viewpoint.
Well, thank you, Brent. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, let's start with the good.
Well, the good is, Sarge, go ahead.
Well, the good is, like you just were talking about, we got three major local construction companies that are booked for the next year and a half.
Full.
Yeah. And
everybody wants to talk about the incoming recession, like, because we're overdue. I don't see it.
No reason for that.
Engineering firms in town are packed. Architectural firms are packed with business.
Full.
Yeah, like a year or two of a pipeline of all these things happening, and if we can get the lenders to keep lending, we should be able to roll this economy and keep doing it.
Yeah, we're talking about the minimum wage. Oregon has a great minimum wage, more than national. Good times, good times. The tip jars are full at the restaurants. Everything's moving well.
I'll tell you what, we want to draw attention to Miss Lou Brack, 1955. Just Miss Lou Brack, 1955. Look it up, and you're going to see Nancy Pelosi Miss Lou Brack, 1955. And she's surrounded by garage guys, and it's like Texaco or something, and she's there in all her radiant beauty.
And then she won the break, Miss Break Specialist.
That's another year.
Really?
Yeah, calendars, you know.
She looks pretty good
swimsuit.
Those days.
Oh, she's absolutely gorgeous. And now she's lubing the Democratic Party.
Oh, watch out.
Oh, man. You sure this isn't a deep fake?
Oh, can we? Is it okay?
You guys know what a deep fake is.
Go ahead.
You know, we were talking about school buildings, too, and while you're talking about construction. And there's so much that could be so much more efficient. And, you know, you were just like you were saying, people go there, they need to study, they need to be lectured and stuff, and then you go home, right?
Well, it's like kind of like the situation with our school buildings, architectural, beautiful things. I think I came out of the era of 1958. Judson Junior High was built, looked like Parrish and Walker. They all looked the same. I'm a believer in just making them good buildings that hold these classrooms, gymnasium, fill them up with good equipment and good teachers, and get the kids taught.
That's simple.
There was some criticism that West High was built too elaborately, and more importantly, it was built in an inefficient manner to maintain. You know, high ceilings, and it just costs more to clean, it costs more to heat, and things like that. And that
was
not taken into effect as being quite so practical.
Well, you know, I'm a builder family and a retired general contractor, and it's my job and my reputation evolved around creating good residents with good traffic flows, easy to maintain, good roof protection. And then when we get into, and I don't want to slam the architects too bad, but we get into building their thoughts, and their thoughts would be non-weather protected. The EFIS is the biggest example in the world, with multiple millions and billions of dollars of lawsuits over it, because it was wanted to be used to create a stucco effect or the Spanish effect. But EFIS was a bad word.
That's a building material?
That's a building material to simulate stucco.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, coming back to Lou Brack, 1955.
I'll be quiet.
I was in the third grade or fourth grade. I might have been in the fifth grade. I grew fast. I grew 10 years in the 50s.
Did you? Wow.
Boy, was that because you're looking at calendars or what?
No, I wouldn't dare look at all that. Except, you know, you go into the garages, they call them then, or auto repair shops, you always kind of took a look over there on the wall, see what the fellas had showed up. I never looked at them because people would talk about it. I just turned my head and go on out.
Oh, I bet.
Miss Lubrak, 1955. I'm looking that up.
Well, you got to look, she's you gotta look at the it house. Up. But, you know, Nancy was very gorgeous, a very attractive young lady, and now she's 79 years old. And a speaker. And I think what this lady should do is quit.
That's your personal recommendation for her life plan.
Just quit. You got to quit. I can't say too much. I'm kind of ornery today.
Yeah, you are.
But I do think that you should look at the leader of the party or speaker is leading this Trump fiasco. You should probably check her mental ability. Now, we lost Bernie because of a medical reason. I think that the speaker should be looked at to see if she's thinking right.
Well, say you agree with Trump, then coming out of that meeting, that she's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Trump says it.
Did you say you're ornery today, Cowboy Ron?
Well, I'm ornery often.
You know, he's going to be gone for a while. He's going to, this man knows how to travel. He's going to
North Dakota
in the middle of winter.
Yeah, the vacation garden spot.
That's how the cowboys do it, though.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to North Dakota. Every demo, every liberal I see, I'm going to put a bull ring in their nose and lead them around.
You are so bad. You know, you're going to get, there aren't any liberals up there.
Well, there could be one. Big cities. Bismarck. Yeah.
Big cities.
We'll find one in Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cowboy Ron, Nancy Pelosi, she's kind of standing in the way, and she's the one protecting us from the far left. Didn't you know that now?
Mm-hmm.
She's protecting us from the far left part of the Democratic Party. And she's the moderate. She, along with the former vice president, they're the moderates.
Yeah, the problem with being on this radio program is that I start researching, and then I really get into trouble.
Well, you know, we don't talk about national stuff all week until you get here.
Really?
Yeah, we only talk about local stuff on Newsmakers.
The icing on the cake, baby.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Salem, Oregon's a great place to live. I love you.
It is. It is a great place to live, work, and play, and so forth. But we do have to pay attention, and we do have to have educated voters.
We do. And I want to come back to that one there in South Salem. The people that are running for
city council seat?
No, for
filling
Senate.
Jackie Winter's spot.
Oh, yes.
And the Democrat person, they're talking about, well, what are you going to run on? And she says, you know, with this stagnant economy we have, I'm going to talk about it. That's going to be on my platform, this stagnant economy in South Salem, Oregon.
Whoa.
Wow, it sounds like the ignorance
Cowboy
the city council is coming up. We're going to be talking about that next week. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers, Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.